Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowicz, live in studio.
Yeah, it's
normally
nice to
we have our own studio in our office. Today we're at Chorus's studio, which we have a great show today. And the reason why we're here is we're going to have two guests that are going to kind of walk you through what it's like to retire.
So, yeah, let's talk about why that's important. I mean, we talk about retirement in like academic terms
a lot. And a financial perspective.
But lots of other stuff, but it's academic, right? And this isn't academic. Retirement's not academic for people when they retire. It's a journey.
Correct.
And it's a human journey, and there's all kinds of emotions attached to it. We like to focus on money sometimes, but there's all kinds of emotions, right? Thinking about getting there. The moment that you give in, you give your resignation to retire, what does that feel like? Are you ready for, you know, for what comes next? And is it what you expected? All of those things, we're going to explore those with two guests. Certainly one that will be very well known in this station, Gord Gillies and his wife.
Gord Gillies and his wife Candy will be on the show today. We all know Gord, and we all saw his transition out of media into retirement, but we don't know what life is like in retirement. There's
no
camera following him there, so, we're going to find out what it's like.
Wonderful. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, as we often do, kind of market drivers this week. Probably sound like a bit of a broken record in this particular case. It's still the main headline issues that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, coronavirus is still up in the news story. We're finding more and more companies are also disclosing their earnings on both sides of the border. But there's some interesting stuff that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Protests.
Yeah.
You know, they're protesting and it's stopping economic activity to the point that the federal government needs to get involved.
Oh, you're talking the railways.
Yeah, the railways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50% of Canadian exports are transported by rail.
Now, that's problem number one.
Yeah.
Problem number two, exports and the supply chain out of China because of this coronavirus is down. In fact, the ports in the United States are down in shipments by 13% just in January, in the first 3 weeks of January. We haven't hit peak numbers for coronavirus yet. So there is a spillover. This could be a double negative in the short term. All the economists that we've been talking to are saying it's a short-term event. Now, remember, economists look in longer-term, decades, potentially even a generation, depending on their research. So short-term could be a year.
Yeah, yes, it will be. And you know, there will be some demand destruction created that perhaps is temporary, but a lot of it will be picked up relatively quickly. So if you've delayed, you know, going out and buying something for fear of, you know, the coronavirus, but it's something you do need to purchase, ultimately people will purchase it. But there is an impact, right? We will see this reported in earnings and we'll see to the extent to which it moves outside of China because of that. Chinese supply chain is so critical to global trade.
And it does impact the price of oil.
And
I think people need to kind of understand this. In the areas where they're quarantined, where they're not allowed anybody to go to factories, most of those factory workers are transient.
Right.
Those individuals travel to work and back either by plane, train, or automobile. Let's tell people how many people we're talking about that have to go to work in these areas. It's 300 million people, almost the same amount of population as the United States, stop commuting. That will take a dim impact on the demand for energy.
Mm-hmm.
It does hit us back home here in Alberta.
Absolutely.
Right? And so although we've seen the price of WTI go below $50 and come right back up, we've seen Western Canadian Select go down and come back up, this could have some rippling effects. So we got to keep an eye on the economy, on the numbers that are happening, and then we make decisions from there.
Right. That's the story, I think, right, for this week. I'm not sure we have to say much more.
Can I bring up a story that happened? I was doing an interview on CTV.
Yeah.
And the interview was about a case where this lady has to pay $250,000 approximately of tax because there was no beneficiary written on her husband's retirement income fund. We call it a RIF.
Yep.
There was a beneficiary on the RSP, but when it converted to a RIF, no beneficiary. And he's had a RIF for a couple years, and all of a sudden when he passed away, she's not getting the responses that she wants. She has to now come up with this tax bill of, let's call it $250,000.
Well, that's because it went to the estate.
That's because the money went to the estate as deemed to be income. So let's kind of walk through that.
Yes, please.
Step one, in the event of your death on a registered product like a RIF, a RIF, or an RSP, if your beneficiary is a state or an individual who is not your common law or married spouse, it will then be considered deemed income in the year that you pass away.
100%. Let's be clear. 100% of the assets inside that registered program become taxable income in the year, the day before you pass.
So let me give easy numbers. $500,000 in your RSPs, you pass away. You now have $500,000 of income.
Or your estate does in this
case. The estate does in the year you pass away.
Yeah.
That gets taxed as if you earned it as a paycheck.
That's right.
And that's about $250,000 of tax.
Right.
So now what this lady had to do is, because she didn't have the money for the tax bill and CRA's knocking, is she had to get a line of credit against her home and get a $250,000 withdrawal and give that money into the tax bill. So after we did that interview, and then after we sent that out to our clients and so forth, we started getting phone calls about beneficiary. Do I have my beneficiary? And thank God we're tight on this on our practice. But for the learning outcome is, review your beneficiaries at least once a year. You get a statement that comes to you every month, every quarter, every year. Look at the beneficiary. Find out who's on there. And if you're not sure, if you can't find it, it's not on that document, call your financial institution. Call your advisor.
Right.
And look at that. Because now we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars of unnecessary tax. And now everybody's blaming the other person. She blames the bank. The bank says, no, we blame the husband. She's blaming the CRA that they should be more lenient on this. And it's going to be a real mess.
Right.
All because it was forgotten to be put one name on the document. Now, there are times that people don't want to put a name on these documents, on the RIF or RSP. Mm-hmm. But that's a planned strategy.
Right.
So first have a plan and review your documents every single month for beneficiaries, for making sure the information's accurate, so forth, because that's the only source of information you get on a regular basis that will tell you what the accounts are like.
And make sure that your beneficiary designations on your RIF accounts and RSP accounts is also consistent with your beneficiaries and how your will's laid out, because you don't want a conflict there either, right? So estate planning, right, what we call our legacy bucket, there are some details that you need to be clear about to make sure that these things don't create these kinds of problems.
They all have to match. Really quickly, I sat down with a client of ours who I've been on her for 5 years to get a will done. She hasn't done it. She wrote a handwritten will, which was not witnessed. So there's a problem on that one alone. But at the end of the day, I said, this is how your will sounds when I read it. What do you think? And she's like, that's not what I want. Like, well, you're the one who wrote it. So we better get this done professionally with a lawyer. So we're working on that. 5 years.
Right.
Dave, 5 years to get her to the spot where she has to sit in front of a lawyer, all because she didn't want to spend the money.
Well, and so this is going to be an interesting point. And I want to maybe tease this to the fourth segment of today's show, because I've been doing a lot of legacy and estate planning work with clients, and I had a really fascinating meeting this week that will build on exactly what you've just said and the complexity and problems that can come out if we don't do some pre-planning. So,
And retirement is a more complex period than before retirement. And so we're going to talk about that complexity. We're going to go through what we call the four buckets on Tuesday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Well, how fun can retirement be? Well, let's find out. We're going to talk to Gordon Candy after the break. Join us for that on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.